Hello, this is Climate and Community, Maine Voices for Action, with a Climate to Thrive. This five-minute weekly program will illuminate stories of climate courage, solutions, and resilience-building action, with a focus on communities leading the way right here in coastal Maine.
I'm your host, Wilson Hames. Today, Climate and Community continues last week's conversation with Ezra Sassman about his experience working toward climate justice in Maine and what motivates him to be part of the climate movement.
The stakes of not getting there in time are so much greater than if they're doing construction on a bridge next to my house and it's been delayed 10 years. It's okay if the bridge is delayed 10 years, but it's not okay if the carbon goals are not met in 10 years. It's going to have such wide-reaching consequences that it almost feels like you can't afford to be realistic about it. I think activists in general get a bad name for taking things so seriously, for being so adamant about, like, no, you're not even getting to 80% of where we need to be. Like, you're not even close. In our lives, we're told, like, oh, you have to compromise to get things done, or it's okay if everyone leaves unhappy. No, this isn't like I'm trading my old chair for your old couch. This is a very, very important topic that our survival and the survival of the planet relies on.
Ezra shared his observations about the strengths and challenges Maine has demonstrated in the past when working to reduce emissions and prepare for future climate-related impacts.
Maine is really good at stopping the bad. A new oil pipeline would never come through Maine. A new huge mine probably would never come through Maine. People like the way life used to be, or the way life is right now, and they're pretty change resistant. So that can mean both positive and negative changes. So they're not going to start setting up giant nuclear waste facilities in Maine. If they want fossil fuel infrastructure, they'd probably shoot it down. So I think that's the benefit when it comes to climate, that there's not like this deference to these new fancy corporations that are promising a lot of jobs. I think that is also a downside, like this resistance to change in any direction. There's a lot of conservation and keeping everything the way that it is, but it's not just about keeping everything the way that it is that we need. We need to have a massive proliferation of renewable energy. We need to reorganize who owns stuff and how resources are distributed in a way that makes sense and is fair. So I think that's what's going on in Maine that we have to reckon with.
I asked Ezra about the trajectory of the climate movement in Maine and how the turbulence of the past 5 years has impacted climate action. From his perspective, we are still in the rebuilding phase following the COVID-19 pandemic.
Especially in Maine, it's already so rural. Then there's a pandemic on top of that. People are worried about being in person together for a couple of years. Then there's social media craziness on top of that. So there's this breakdown of communication, breakdown of connectedness, breakdown of in-personness. And then that is a perfect storm to make people think that no one cares about me. No one cares about the planet. I think that's why it's really important to show that you care and that you're willing to connect with other people around it. And I think also the more visible climate action is, the more people will be encouraged to join in. Most people actually do agree that they want clean air, they want clean water, they don't like the idea of climate change. There's a big overestimation of how little people care. A lot of people actually do care. So if you're brave enough to be that person that takes the initiative and invites people into the movement, then that can be really great.
Rebuilding requires determination and commitment from the folks who were already involved in climate action before the pandemic. But in order to achieve large-scale change, the movement also needs a massive influx of new voices, perspectives, and skill sets.
I'm involved because I want to create a society and world around me of people who treat each other and the climate the same way, where there's like golden rule where you're like, I'm treating the earth well because I want to be treated well, or I'm treating my neighbor well because I want to be treated well. And I think that drawing these ties allow us to be good community members, meet interesting people, meet people that you maybe share values with, and also be able to live your values. So if you're concerned about the climate and want to spend a couple hours of your time each week talking about, discussing, imagining a better world, taking small political actions, you can take joining your local sustainability group or creating one if it doesn't exist. These are all small things, but I think that these are ways that we can slowly but surely move in the right direction versus getting so overwhelmed by everything going on, not doing anything about it, beating yourself over the fact that you're not doing enough about it, and then becoming paralyzed with inaction. It just feels bad and doesn't really help anyone, and you can't solve everything on your own. So even with a small group of people, we have 4 or 5 people that go to our local climate task force. Also meeting people from maybe backgrounds or ages. If you're a young person, you'll connect with people that are older, have wisdom. If you're an older person, you'll connect with younger people that have crazy radical ideas that you've never thought of, maybe. But there's some radical old people too. I think community connections can be made around helping with the climate, and people come at it from different directions. Within our own group, we have high schoolers that are interested in the climate. We have high school teachers that are interested in the climate. We have an engineer who's really excited about new technologies. Or we have someone who's really interested with waste management systems. And all these different backgrounds and interests are going to have to communicate with each other and work together. So find what you're passionate about and bring it.
Ezra reminds us that as an individual, our power lies in how we show up and support what we believe in, and how we create community around building a future we want to live in.
There's a lot of people that are waiting to be activated and waiting to connect their skills with other people and get to the world that we want to see in the future.
This has been Climate and Community with the Climate to Thrive, Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. Thanks for listening.